America, the one who is.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
A lot of stories in there, and I write with a sense of humor. So,
oh, good.
Yeah, so
it, I hope we get it.
I hope so too. So, it's just my personality. I look at life maybe too often on the positive side, but it always has served me well.
Well, and, I don't know. You know, it's funny you should say too much on the positive side. I don't know. Is that possible? You know, yeah. I don't know.
Well, I think today, as believers and maybe all through history, Christians have always been beat up, you know, in every way.
Well, they think that love is a sign of weakness instead of strength.
Yeah.
Just like a real man. I mean, the Jews will tell you real man can cry.
That's right. And here again, I'll refer back to my book. In the community that we were raised in, the Pennsylvania German people, for a man to show emotion, that was a no-no. And the first time that I ever saw my father cry was at his mother's funeral, the first time.
Yeah.
And I never saw him shed a tear even after that. And my father was a wonderful man, a good man, and a sense of humor, always laughing and joking. But
That? How old were you when he lost his mother?
I was 7 years old.
Seven?
Yeah.
This is even before you knew Jesus. And yet you recall it. That must have been a gift to see, to get a glimpse inside this sensitive man's heart that he would only show this one time. Wasn't that a gift?
I think it was, yeah. Yeah. And I can remember details about that service as a seven-year-old boy, all that took place. And I write about it in the book also.
I've never had somebody come back and wrote about the age of 0 to 12 and then be able to recollect with such clarity.
When I'm talking to my, if you can imagine, I'm telling my siblings about this, especially the young ones, because they don't even remember Grammy Clymer. You know, some of them weren't even born.
Yeah,
so they wanted to know, you know, but as I'm telling them these details, they wanted to know more and more. And so, you know, and it's interesting. Like I said, I had no intentions of writing a book. And so one of my brothers that I would spend time with, he's the one that really pushed me, encouraged me. And about a month after I said I would do it, he called me and he said, "Frank, how you doing with the book?" And I said, "Well, Dave, not too good. I have 2 pages written." but it kicked me in gear.
Do you walk around the world? You take the first step. You know what? You were a champ that you wrote two. How do you write a book? You know, one sentence at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you had 2 pages. You were already on your way to being a champ. Now, the title of the book, by the way, folks, is Growing Up in the Greatest Generation by Frank Clymer, C-L-Y-M-E-R. So you have a, this is a plane that's used in World War II on the cover.
Yeah.
Why you have that as your cover?
Well, that is a picture of our community. Our community was very, very patriotic. The plane climaxed who we were. That plane cost almost $500,000, $450,000 in those days. And
when you consider, what year would this have been?
1944.
So 20 years later, in 1964, Mr. Myers, my fourth or fifth grade math teacher, said that he was making $4,000 a year. So that would mean every 10 years it'd be $40,000. So in a lifetime, he may have made $100,000 to $120,000. And so, you know, that means so $500,000 was a whole heap of bunch of money then.
And this is from there was two communities. Sellersville was a community of 2,500 people, And our neighboring community was Percy, Pennsylvania, and they had 3,500 people. So the two communities went together because we went to the same high school. And,
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
This is what I want to get to the meat, though, of this whole thing. We're talking, you know, the down to the bone here, the sweet part of the meat, and that is this. I want you, and I hope you did this in this book.
Yeah.
This is just conjecture on my part. I'm throwing this out here.
Yeah.
I'm hopeful that you give us insight into a godly pace that used to prevail, a godly neighborliness that used to prevail. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it's because we had, you know, 200 million less people, but we never locked the front door of our house. We never locked the back door.
That was our house, too. When we moved from the street I talk about, Hughes Avenue, my father sold the house, and the new owners asked for the key. And my dad said, I don't have a key. And we would go to the Jersey Shore, you know, for summer vacation.
Yeah.
Never locked the door.
No.
Never
locked the door. By the way, I love the Jersey Shore. I'm from upstate New York, so yeah. It'd be about a six-hour drive, but
yeah.
There's nothing like the Jersey Shore. Down by Cape May.
Well, we went to Ocean City, New Jersey.
Yeah.
Sometimes to Atlantic City.
I don't know what it is about that stretch.
Yeah, I know.
But watch the tram car, please. Yeah. Watch the tram car, please.
Yeah. But it was, a wonderful time. But you said about communities.
Yes.
I talk about our community. If I could just mention a couple things.
Please.
This is an unusual community. Many people, most people are proud of the communities they're raised in, and rightly so. But there's a couple things that are a little bit different. Sellersville alone produced five generals came out of 2,500 people. So that is very unusual. I had the privilege of one of these did not become a general until 1953. He was a bomber pilot in the Second World War, 35 missions over Germany. He lived on our street, Hughes Avenue. This street will blow you away, okay? And when he came back, he stayed in the National Guard, and he rose up very quickly that he was the head of Indiantown Gap, whatever that title was. And soon after that, he was made a general, and he commanded the whole National Guard. Now, I knew him as a boy on Hughes Avenue, but when he moved to Green Street, where we later moved, so I knew him as a teenager there, and I can tell you a very interesting story.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
We like stories.
Yeah, okay.
By the way, we're talking about his book, Growing Up in the Greatest Generation, Frank Clymer. People come and go when they're listening to radio.
Yeah.
I want them to be able to find your book, Growing Up in the Greatest Generation by Frank Clymer, C-L-Y-M-E-R, 87 years of age, has a fantastic memory. And this all has to do with the ages of 0 to 12. He has a great memory. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway.
So this guy that's going to be a general one day.
Yeah, I have his picture in there.
Tell us the story.
Okay. His name was Hugh Niles. And when he moved to Green Street, myself and some of the neighbor kids, we needed a basketball court, okay? And so he found out about it, and he had connections. He went to Pennsylvania Power and Light, who had a station in Sellersville, and they donated two telephone poles. The neighbors on Green Street chipped in to buy the backboards and the baskets. But Hugh Niles himself put it all together, put the screws in and everything else that needed to be. PP&L came, dug the holes, put the poles in, and we had a basketball court thanks to Hugh Niles. Now, he was a wonderful man to know. And after that, when I became an adult, I became personal friends with the other members of my family, especially my brother Paul, who was a very successful politician, 34 years in Harrisburg, headed up some of the major committees in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, like I said, for 34 years. And people would come to me and they'd say, oh, I'm not going to vote because there's no honest politicians. I said, wait a minute, you never met my brother Paul Clymer. He was the one that, and he's the one that followed me out of the pew.
He's wondering.
So that's why I say,
imagine that, an honest politician.
So I always had a ready answer, but he was a wonderful brother.
Is he still alive?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
I just talked to him yesterday. Yep.
Is he still in politics or no?
No, he retired a few years ago.
I'd like to interview him.
Yeah. Oh, he'd be very interesting to interview.
Yeah. Where does he live now?
He lives in Pennsylvania yet.
He doesn't come down to Florida?
No, he doesn't.
Do you still live in Pennsylvania? Or do you have a summer place up there, or do you spend?
I go up there for about a month in the summertime. Yeah.
Yeah.
I stay up there.
Where do you stay?
It's a Christian park right on the edge of town.
Oh, and you have an RV?
No. We rent a cottage.
Really?
Yeah. It's a wonderful place to stay.
Is it on the water?
No, but beautiful shade trees and. Just a wonderful community of Christian people living there. And the buildings are from the turn of the last century.
Oh, I love old buildings. That's one thing we they tear down everything in Florida, I'm sorry to say. Stop tearing down the buildings.
Yeah, so we look forward to going up there.
So I want to hear more about, so your brother was a politician, loved the Lord, because he came forward in a Jack Wurtson service when you were 12. Your brother was a little younger than you, right?
Yeah, just 1 year.
So he was 11, and yet it stuck.
I was 14.
Oh, so he was 13. But it stuck.
Yes.
You could see throughout his life, he showed the fruit. Now, what about you had a sister too then?
Yeah, my sister.
She went forward too.
Yeah, she became an RN.
An RN.
Yeah.
Never met a nurse I didn't like.
Well, she was a wonderful nurse.
They have a gift of mercy. It's
she
biblical.
She was, most of her life she spent as a supervisor.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And when she came to Florida, the one thing she said, it's so much work to be a supervisor. She said, I'm not going to be a supervisor. Well, after a couple of years, they talked to her.
Tune in again tomorrow at 3 a.m., 7 a.m., or 3 p.m. for a new day with Rhett Palmer.
We'd like to thank Center for Advanced Eye Care, Dr. Mallon, Center for Advanced Eye Care with offices in Fort Pierce and in Vero Beach. Thank you for supporting It's a New Day.
Can yet sing, but if we sing long enough, they might join in with us. And this may be a dance that's too heavy for those chains, but if we dance long enough, well, the prisons will open up. Hey! This may be a shout that those fragile lungs can't bear. But if we shout long enough, well, the walls might finally fall. And they may need some help to lift their hands up in the air. But we know that freedom's coming, so we'll sing it all the more. We're singing, oh, 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 the redeemed now have a song. We'll sing it all day long until the rest come running home. And oh, 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 all the broken can you hear, we'll shout it out forever. Sing it out, say it. This may be too daring of a prayer to pray out loud, but would you send those orphans home? We've been waiting all day long. Our ringing robe is ready, we can see them coming now. Just like the prodigal,